Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So I want to talk a little bit about understanding how God speaks to you. You see, I believe, and I am under a complete conviction that God wants to speak to us, not just from other people, but he wants to use his words and his voice in our lives to change us and to cultivate something in us that cannot be transferred. It has to be caught, and something has to be lived out in our own lives. And you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a very prophetic home. My dad was very prophetic. He was the type of dad that I remember he would tell my sister and I, girls, God told me there's a guy named Joe. He's sitting on a porch. He's wearing blue, and God wants me to lead him to the Lord. And we were living in South Lake Tahoe, a little mountain town up in Northern California. And I remember getting in the back seat of the car, and my dad would drive around until we would see a man sitting on a porch wearing blue. And I would watch my dad get out of the car, begin to say, "Is your name Joe?" And the guy would say, "Yes." And he says, "I believe God brought me here to speak to you about your life." And I would regularly watch my dad lead men and women to Christ through a prophetic evangelism and awaken like something. Nobody was safe. We would be in airports and he'd be leading the Lord to people. We would be at restaurants and he would be asking the server if they know Christ, and he would be giving them a prophetic word. He would be saying, "Hey, I saw that this is happening in your life right now." And when the people would see, they would say, "Who are you? How do you know this? Are you a psychic? Why would you say this?" And he says, "No, I believe that there's a God that knows everything about you and loves you and wants to awaken something in you." But see, I remember one time my dad came in and I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And I remember him coming downstairs. Our bedrooms were downstairs. And he opens the door and he said, "God woke me up and told me you were doing this." Let me tell you, there is nothing more terrifying than being parented by a prophetic parent. When I was in high school, my dad was across the country speaking, and I'm sitting watching something on TV I should not be watching, and my dad is 3 hours later in the evening, and he picks up the phone, he calls us, and he says, "Havila, the Lord woke me up and told me you're watching something you shouldn't be watching." And I was like, "Well, yeah, you know," then you just say, "Yes, you're exactly right. Okay, yes, I'm so sorry." But see, what I loved about it was that the presence of God can give us a strategy and a clarity that we cannot have on our own. And I love the fact that my parents were willing to parent with God and not just try to do it on their own, but he would hear certain things and they begin to hear God. And I remember as a kid, I never felt like I could hear God, specifically in a home like that. How do you hear God? You know, you've got this prophetic pastor, leader in your home, and here I am trying to hear God. And I never thought I could. I would go up to altar calls and they would pray for us. "Can you hear God's voice?" And I would cry and plead that God would show me his voice. And I always assumed it would be like a radio station that would kind of go, you know, "Breaker, breaker, we're here," you know. And I go, "There's God, I can hear him." But what I didn't realize was that I was hearing God, I just didn't know it. And so when I was about 17 years old, I was at a conference with my twin sister, and this guy comes up to my sister and I, and he says, "I think you're supposed to pray for us." And genuinely, we thought the guy was hitting on us. That was what our thought was. So we said, "Well, maybe later," because we weren't interested. And so we were like, "Maybe later, God hasn't told us yet." And so this guy followed us around the entire week of this conference. Until the final evening, I look at my sister and I say, "We avoided that weird guy that wants prayer. We did it. Like, let's go." And all of a sudden, the guy taps one of us on the shoulder and he's like, "This is the last night. Can you pray for me?" And we were like, "Oh, okay, we'll pray for you." We're 17 years old, just finally found our spiritual rear ends. And now we're gonna pray for this guy. And all of a sudden we close our eyes and we bring one of our friend over, and she's part of the prayer team because we're supposed to have a prayer team leader with us. And we close our eyes and the guy's ready to receive. And I look at him and I wanna punch him in the face because I'm like, "You punk, you've been tormenting us all week and now you want us to pray for you. And I have nothing, I'm 17, I don't know what you want." So we close our eyes and the friend of mine who's part of the ministry team says, "Havila, you have something for him, you should share it." And I look at her and I'm thinking, "I have nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't call me out like this." But she says this to me, "Just close your eyes and just say whatever comes to you." So I close my eyes, and the first thing I think about is McDonald's fries, because I'm 17 and it's midnight, and that's the word of the Lord. No, okay, so I close my eyes, and I know that's not God, and so I just sit for a minute, and all of a sudden, I hear the name Shadrach. And I'm like, okay, that came out of nowhere. I wasn't thinking about Shadrach. I don't know. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to say this to this guy. And part of me thought this. If it's wrong, he kind of deserves it. So I say to him, Shadrach. And when I say the name Shadrach, the guy bursts into tears and shakes and falls to the ground. And I'm like, what just happened? This is crazy. So his friends are standing around, and we pray and say a few more things, and he gets up and he goes, "Will you pray for my friend?" And we're like, "Okay, we'll pray for him." Close our eyes again. My friend, who's a prayer leader, says, "Havilah, you have something for him." And I look at her like, "Can you stop calling me out?" And she goes, "Just close your eyes, and the first thing that comes." So I close my eyes, and the first thing I get is Abednego. And I'm like, I can't believe we're in the same story, God. It's a big Bible. Can we not pick another story? And then I'm wondering if I have the gift of names. I don't know what's happening, right? So I close my eyes and I just say it to him. I feel like the word Abednego is over you. And the guy shakes and falls to the ground. And I'm like, I don't know what is happening here, but somehow this is working. And so the next guy comes up and I begin to pray over him, and my brain, this is what happens when you have four kids, Meshach. I close my eyes, and I get the name Meshach, and I say it over him. He does the exact same thing, falls to the ground, cries. The next guy comes up, I get the name Daniel, falls to the ground, cries. I'm thinking, I don't know what is happening, but God is touching these young guys, and I mean, they can't fake this. Trust me, they don't want to burst into tears and fall on the ground just as much as I don't want them to burst into tears and fall on the ground. And they all get up like this slobbering mess, and their arms are around each other. And they said, I'm sure you've heard this before. There's a prophet that came to our church, and he called all of us out one by one. And he said, you are a Meshach, you are a Shadrach, you are an Abednego, and you are a Daniel. And you are meant to be in friends. And we were sitting in different places in the room, and that was the one word he gave us. Now, when he said it, he said, I'm sure you've heard this all the time. And I said, of course I do. I hear it all the time. When I walked away that night, I could not believe that God would speak so gently and so clearly and so profoundly to somebody who was not that spiritual, who didn't think she could hear God. And there was no ability in me to feel confident that I knew what he was saying. All it required was me to take a risk and share what I had, and they received it. Now, I want you to know that turned into years of prophetic ministry where I would travel and minister over hundreds and then thousands of people individually. The last we counted, I have given 25,000 prophetic words individually on tape. So when I talk about hearing God's voice, this is not some way out here somewhere doing this. I have taught and trained thousands of people how to hear God's voice. And tonight you go, but I'm at a prayer meeting. Of course I hear God's voice. What I want to do is turn up his voice in your life right now, because there's a lot of voices that are loud right now in our society. There's a lot of voices that are demanding our attention. And some of you are at a place right now where you're like, I don't know how to parent this child. And some of you are like, I don't know how to deal with the heal this marriage. Or I don't know what to do in my ministry because it seems like the ministry is shut down. Or I don't know where to go. And I love what Pastor Debbie, how she connected the dots so clearly. When the theme of Design for Life came, it was like God knew that the path leads home. God knew that that would be a setup. And she had to, in faith, declare that this would be the theme, not knowing that God had set her up to be a prophetic voice, to lead. And what he was saying over a generation. And this is what I'm saying. What if God was setting you up with things that you had no idea was coming, but because you're being obedient and you're stepping out and you're taking risks and you're turning off all the voices that want to bring fear and confusion and shame and unbelief, and you're saying, no, I can hear God. I want us to look at this passage quickly. In John chapter 10, he says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. when he has brought out all his own and goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Listen, you aren't hearing God's voice isn't just something you can do. It's something you should do. You need to do. It should people go, oh, God's your crutch. No, he's not just my crutch. He's my feeding tube. He's everything to me. If I don't hear his voice, I'm not going anywhere. What you say, I say. What you do, I do. If you tell me to be quiet, I'm quiet. I am not doing this on my own. I am not confident in my own abilities. I am confident that with God, all things are possible. But I am dependent upon the voice of God. And he's saying, if you're really going to be my disciple, if you're really going to follow hard after me, if you're really going to go through COVID together, then you're going to be able to hear my voice even when it feels like I'm not saying anything. You're going to hear my voice. And what I've come to remind you is that the voice of God is alive and well. It is not about him speaking. It is about you listening. And so don't ever get caught up in wondering, is he saying something over my life, sweetheart? He is always saying something over your life. The only hindrance is if you are leaning in and listening, and sometimes we don't think he's speaking because we don't like what he's saying. Come on, don't look around. And so we have to lean in and listen. I want to share with you just quickly about the reality of hearing God's voice. After speaking and ministering so many years of how God speaks, I really began to realize that there were four distinct ways that God speaks. And I like to call them prophetic personalities. It's not a biblical term, so please don't look in the front of your book for prophetic personalities. But I like to call it prophetic personalities because it really is a personality in which you hear God. And after all these years of teaching and training on this topic, I've really seen that most everybody fits in one of these categories. And you're the only one that's going to know if you fit in the category. And so the first type of person, or the way that God speaks to us, is like the person in the room that's the light bulb. It's like you're going through your life, you're doing life, and all of a sudden, a light bulb moment. I like to call you the knowers. And the knowers in the room are those that don't know why, they just know. They just go through life and they do what they need to do, and then all of a sudden they just have this intuitive sense that God wants you to go here, buy that, marry that, right? He wants you to go over here, do this, and you don't feel very spiritual, but you've learned through a history in God that he is speaking to you and you are now learning. Now we learn very clearly that being intuitive, a spiritual intuition, is absolutely biblical. I think about Paul in the Bible. It says that he took Timothy. He had an option of taking two men, but he decided to take Timothy instinctively. You see, I think that there are many of us that are knowers in the room. We don't feel super spiritual. We don't think we're really hearing God because we don't have a thus saith the Lord and God told me this, and we're not having dreams and visions, but we just somehow have this sense that this is what we need to do, and we know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we begin to lean into that and God just shows us. And I love that. You see, knowers are the intuitive ones. And intuitive means having the ability to understand or know something without any direct evidence or reasoning. I just know we're supposed to call it. The path leads home and we're going to do it. I just know it. And that ends up being a prophetic word. Knowers is that knowing is in the spirit within us, and knowers just know how it's going to be. Job chapter 38 verse 36 says, "Who gives intuition and instinct? God himself has given understanding to the heart and heart or intuition." God speaks to knowers with a strong sense. We sense something deep within and know what God is speaking. We can sense a great joy or sorrow or compassion or clarity, but we just know. And knowers can't explain how they know, but they just know. Now, I want to just say this to you. I am a knower. And until I started studying this and understanding this, I felt like I was the most unspiritual person in the room. Because I would be surrounded with people that would say, and God said this, and God did this, and they would cry, and they would weep, and they would have these emotions, and I would be like, I'm just not saved. I just don't think I'm saved. Because I don't hear God like that. I haven't heard God since 1983, and I think it was God. Like, I don't know, But when I began to study and research and I learned that God gives knowers a gift of wisdom to know what he is saying and what to do, I began to realize that I could actually reframe that part and say, that is God speaking. And I could add a thus saith the Lord, or I know God is saying this, but it's not going to change the way that he speaks to me or even the feeling or sense of what he's saying. I just know. And now with a history of living with me, my husband will tell you, when I say things like, I think we're supposed to do this, or I know we're supposed to do this, he says, now I know that's what God is saying to you. And I lean in and I listen. Now, some of you are not knowers. Some of you are seers. So you have the knowing personality and you have the seers. You are the eyes of the room and you see what God is doing. You're the visionaries. In fact, 1 Chronicles 29:29 called Samuel and Gad the seers. They had a vision. And I love that. You guys are the ones in the room that you could be. You could hear something, you could see something God showed you. It's a vision, and that vision is going to take you a lifetime to fulfill. But when God shows it to you, whether it's a picture in your mind or an experience of a vision, or maybe it's a dream that you have, but once you see it, it is like reality. This is what you're going to work towards. This is who you're going to be. And that vision encompasses you. And here's the problem with seers. Seers have a hard time. They're like, we're going to build that orphanage. And your family's like, but what are we having for dinner? You're like, I don't know, but we're going to build the orphanage. You're the visionary, you're the seer, and understand that that's a gift that God gives you. You are a seer. You have an ability to see how it's going to be. If you're not a seer, then you're probably a hearer. So you have the knower, those that know how it's going to be. You have the seers, those who see how it's going to be. And then you have the hearers, those who hear how it's going to be. And the hearer is kind of the elevated ones in the church. I think we've kind of used this as the key place, but the hearers are those that kind of get a play-by-play. God said this and God said that. You're the journalers. You're the ones that write out things. You go and tell people God said this, and then he said this, and then he said this, and your friends are like, get to the point! Because you just have this journey. I got in the car, and then I got out of the car, and then I got into church and worship, and they sang this, and then I heard her say this, and then I went home, and this was playing, and God is just this narrative of hearing, and you have that kind of God said and God spoke, and it's very profound over your life. Hear how it's going to be, and you have a sense of knowing what God is saying. And then lastly, you have the knower, those that know. You have the seers, those that see. You have the hearers, those that are hearing play by play of what God's saying. And then you have the feelers. Everybody thought I was going to leave you out, but I'm not going to leave you out. I'm not going to hurt your feelings. No, listen. The feelers are those that have this distinct experience of God's emotion. You just feel it. You know God is doing something. You sense it. You know, feelers are those that can go into an atmosphere and they immediately feel the burden of God. They immediately feel how other people are experiencing. And I remember one time I went to Israel and with a couple feelers. And everywhere they would go, they would say, oh, can't you just sense God's doing this? And can't you just see God is doing this? And they're crying. And for the first week, I would lie. Absolutely, I feel God is doing that. And absolutely, he is absolutely saying this. And about the second week, I couldn't lie anymore. And they said, do you feel this? I said, all I feel is that I want a falafel. That's the only thing I feel right now. But some of you, let me tell you, what's the best thing for a feeler is you're the intercessor. We're all called to be intercessors, but I mean, there's a distinct flow that God, you experience things that most people don't. And some of you have been told that you're too emotional or you're too broken or you're too, you know, you weep all the time. But I want you to know God wants to use your emotions for his kingdom to bring you in a place of prayer, but also to pray until there is joy. And so for many of you, you might go, well, how do I operate in this, Haviland? Why are you teaching this? Because I think in this season that we're in the culture that we're in, it is going to be critical that you know how to hear God's voice for you. Now, can you be bilingual? Absolutely. Can you hear at different seasons, different ways? Absolutely. But when we begin to understand how God speaks, we begin to respect each other in ways that we did not respect each other before. And we begin to see how God is saying things in our lives. And we begin to go, oh, she's a feeler. I see that. And I respect that. That's how God speaks to her. And then you might have someone go, I just know we're supposed to do this. And you go, oh, they're a knower. I'm going to respect them for knowing. I thought my spouse wasn't saved, but he's actually saved. He just is a knower. Or maybe it's, you know, I just a hearer, and they just, and God said this and God said this. Well, you know what? They're not more spiritual than me. That's just how God speaks to them. Come on. And for some of you, you're a seer, you're a visionary. You know, the reason we're sitting in a building like this is because somebody was a seer. Somebody saw a vision that was beyond what they could make happen on their own, but they thought, you know what? When they saw it, they began to be filled with passion and a lifelong vision to see it accomplished.